the shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense as a kid. Deke shoots. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean, Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Wennberg, now it's Eklund, now it's Celebrini. Tips it between his legs, backhand to himself. Perfect pass to Eklund, and now to Will Smith. Down low to Foley. Toffoli trying to get it back to Will Smith, blocked by Gavrikov. Nice battle win by Toffoli. Will Smith feeds it back. Eklund now Celebrini. Score! Smith to Eklund to Celebrini, and it's in the net. That's a 5-on-3 power play goal. Eklund Celebrini, second of the game, sixth of the year, and the Sharks are leading 5-2.
Yeah, obviously kind of a slow start, some issues in our second period, but overall, you know, I thought we had a pretty solid hockey game. Obviously some things we got to look at and get a little bit better in certain areas, but credit to the guys. Third period we came out, and you know, if you look back, third period's probably been our best period consistently all year. To put a couple goals in the back of the net was important for our group.
All right, good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? I know we're waking up winners after the San Jose Sharks get their biggest win in a long time, a 7-2 late-game dominant performance against their SoCal rivals, with Macklin Celebrini having his first three-point game. Will Smith has 2 points. Yaroslav Askarov gets a point as well. It felt like a glimpse at the future, and the San Jose Sharks, for one game, were flying high and looked like the best team in California. Now, obviously, I know that by the record, they are not. But for one game, I am going to take it, because the San Jose Sharks were due for a performance like that last night, and hopefully it is the first of more like that to come as we get deeper into this season. And a lot of things going on entering the game. There were many game time decisions, apparently due to injury. One of them, Mikael Granlund, a scratch out of last night's game because he's dealing with an upper body injury. So your best offensive player is out. That did not bode well for San Jose. And then, even though it's a game where you take an early 1-0 lead in the first period, the fastest goal of the year scored by San Jose, Yaroslav Askarov getting his first NHL point, assisting on the goal, which also did Mario Ferraro, finding Nico Sturm early in the game on the breakaway. That's a huge play. Like, you give yourself some momentum, but the Sharks were never able to build on that. And in fact, for most of the first period and a lot of the second period, only time the Sharks were getting any sort of offense was if they did have little breakaways, and they had opportunities. It was great to see, but they were not getting extended ozone time. And that was the most troubling thing to me out of that game, is because LA, they are really, really good defensively. They are really, really good in terms of suppressing shot volume. And I saw that narrative coming in, even though the Sharks have played them tight in two games, but there's been more hockey played up to this point. And I thought to myself, uh-oh, San Jose is going to have a tough time offensively in this game. And I thought to myself, okay, what are they going to need to do? They're going to need to be really good on the power play. Well, early on in the game, the Sharks' power play looked positively anemic, if not helpless, and LA was allowing them to get nothing on the power play. Like, their penalty kill looked as good as a penalty kill has looked all year, and credit to them for being so good on their kill. And also the Sharks, you know, for them, God, they need to be better in those situations, because they just looked a bit lost, right? Like, they did not look like they were capable of finding themselves. So it's kind of like, uh-oh, this is after a game in which the power play did not come up big against Buffalo. What are they going to do in this game? And so, you know, credit to San Jose. We talk a lot about game management, even though they did give up control of the game. They went from a 1-0 lead to a 2-1 deficit. They did not let the game get away from them. And they did not take a number of penalties. And they did not shoot themselves in the foot. And they did not commit many of the errors that they would have earlier in this year. And instead, they stuck to the game plan. And while they were not having, you know, tremendous amounts of success, they still gave themselves the opportunity. And so, you know, you're looking at a goal from Anje Kopitar, gives them a 2-1 lead for the Kings, that is. And then you're thinking, okay, what are we going to see now in terms of a response? It's, you know, about the halfway mark of the period when he scores, 8:58. And then you're thinking, okay, how does San Jose respond? And, well, it's about 4 minutes later that Fabian Zetterlund, on a great make-something-happen play, the thing that we're constantly talking about, works on the wraparound, throws one at the net, gets a fortunate bounce, but it makes its way into the net. right, makes its way across the goal line. The Sharks suddenly have a 2-2 game. And even though it had been all L.A. at that point, other than the goal early on from Nico Sturm, which was before the game had really settled into anything, it did feel like a momentum-shifting moment. And it's something we constantly talk about with the San Jose Sharks. And I believe this to be 100% true of hockey and of soccer as well. You need to put the ball in a dangerous place or the puck in a dangerous place, however you're going to view it. Put shots on frame. Make the goalie react. Make the defense react. I talk endlessly about being the team that dictates the terms of the game, being the team that's in control of reactions, being the team that's in control of how the opposition is reacting to the game, responding to the game. Make sure that they are reacting to you and not the other way around. That's what Fabian Zetterlund did in that instance. You can't get a fortunate bounce unless you put the puck in a dangerous place, and that is exactly what San Jose did. So, yeah, you saw that play. Fabian Zetterlund with the, you know, just semi-wraparound, trying to put the puck into a dangerous place, gets the fortunate bounce. San Jose gets the game-tying goal, and it felt like everything changed from that instant. They make their way into the third period, and then suddenly Macklin Celebrini showed off why he is the most highly touted prospect that the San Jose Sharks have ever had and why he is truly a superstar in the making.
Here come the Sharks. They move in, and they score! That came from nothing down the left wing side, thrown toward the net. And San Jose takes the lead, and it's Macklin Celebrini skating down the left wing side in a play that looked like it was absolutely nothing, and he makes something out of it. Sharks lead 3-2, and that comes 1:03 into the third period. What a way to start.
And that was just a moment where you're thinking to yourself, oh, wow, Macklin Celebrini just pulled off another no-look goal in the NHL. He's played 12 games, and he's doing that for his fifth NHL goal. Jeez. I mean, my goodness, that was rather impressive from the young man. And again, Macklin Celebrini just keeps on showing us every single game why he has the potential to be the leader of the future this franchise needs, the star the franchise needs, the superstar the Bay Area has been waiting for. You know, we've had Steph Curry, we've had Barry Bonds, we've had great players, and you know, now everybody's been wondering who is the worldwide global superstar that is next in the Bay Area. It sure looks like it's Macklin Celebrini. But you could tell that the energy in the building picked up. Everybody's buzzing off the Macklin Celebrini goal. The Kings are a bit on their heels at that point because they've watched their 2-1 lead on the road. I'm sure they're feeling at that point that everything is going to their plan. They had just had a very cagey 2-1 win over Seattle in which they were playing the exact same game. Shot suppression, defense, just looking like a very, very well-balanced team in the NHL. But the Sharks just kept coming. They kept on pushing. They finally broke through against this Kings defense. And it was Timothy Liljegren finding the back of the net.
Sturm has a goal today. Works it free. Here's Will Smith now moving behind the net. Stick handles with it. Backhands. It's Liljegren. Score! Will Smith wins the puck. Gets control of it. And Tim Liljegren bangs it in for that extra insurance the Sharks were desperately looking for. And now it's 4-2 Sharks at 2:14 of the third period.
If we look at the situation against Buffalo the other day where San Jose was looking for a moment, was looking to take a lead in that game when they were up 2-1, they were never able to make it 3-1 to get a little bit of insurance. That was kind of the opposite that we saw in this game, right? Like San Jose was able to build upon the lead that they had. And that was something that didn't occur the other day. It's not occurred in a lot of games, but suddenly San Jose is taking control of this game. It's one thing to take the lead. It's another thing to take control. And then it was Macklin Celebrini again.
Here's Wennberg. Now it's Eklund. Now it's Celebrini. Tips it between his legs. Backhand to himself. Perfect pass to Eklund. And now to Will Smith. Down low to Foley. Toffoli trying to get it back to Will Smith. Blocked by Gavrikov. Nice battle win by Toffoli. Will Smith feeds it back. Eklund now Celebrini. Score! Smith to Eklund to Celebrini. And it's in the net. That's a 5-on-3 power play goal. Macklin Celebrini second of the game. Sixth of the year. And the Sharks are leading 5-2.
And at this point, it felt like the Sharks were ready to blow the doors off of this one and really take it to L.A., and that's exactly what happened as Alex Wennberg got in on the scoring for San Jose.
Off the draw, Wallman shoots. Tip, score!
Wenberg's in front. Looked like he got a piece of it. Wallman shot the puck, kept it on the ice. The most important thing, they won the faceoff, and they put it right to the net within a couple of seconds. And look at this. The Sharks lead 6-2 with a power play goal.
At this point, that is their offensive high output of the year. 6 goals. But the San Jose Sharks were not done, as Luke Cunnan would get on the action.
Here's a giveaway. Luke Cunnan carrying it down the wing, moving in the middle, trying to split through. He shoots, he scores! Luke Cunnan missed the net on the breakaway in the first period, but he makes good on that in the third. With a minute 21 left, Cunnan's goal makes it 7-2 San Jose.
And that's, for me, the first Sharks blowout win that I can remember in a long time. Obviously, the one that I was thinking of that was an offensive explosion like that that came first to mind was Timo Meier's 5-goal game. But, you know, this was entirely different because it's such a different team. The literal roster makeup is so much different than where the Sharks were at that point a few years ago. And it felt like, even though we've got glimpses of the future in the last couple of weeks with San Jose, if you look at Macklin Celebrini with a 3-point night, if you look at Will Smith with a 2-point night, if you look at William Eklund with a 2-point night, if you look with Yaroslav Askarov with a point and his first ever win at the tank. But if you're telling me in, you know, 3 years' time that Celebrini, Smith, Eklund are all having multi-point games and Yaroslav Askarov is at net front giving a celebration after a Sharks home win, that sounds like a formula for success. And obviously, it's a long way off for San Jose. They are still well in the midst of the rebuild. One of the things that I've talked about consistently is that even if the Sharks are not quote-unquote a good team as of yet, and I don't think they are, and I think that's fair. I think they are a rebuilding team. I think they are a team that's still learning how to play in the NHL. I think they are still a work in progress. And that by no way means that I don't think they can turn into a decent team by the time this year comes to an end. There's a lot of hockey left to play, guys. I do not say in any way, shape, or form that this team is complete or has shown us everything they can be. I am waiting to see the full 82 games before we have a true recollection of what they are. But what I do think the Sharks are right now is unbelievably exciting. I don't think that if you are a fan on the East Coast and you see the Sharks play in a 4 o'clock game, you're putting on ESPN Plus to see what Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith are going to do, or Yaroslav Askarov, or William Eklund, or Fabian Zetterlund. All these guys are a huge part of what San Jose has going for their future. You are excited to watch San Jose right now. That's ultimately what I think the takeaway is. And I've, you know, said many times that it's going to be like where the Warriors were back before they were good. But when you can see that Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Harrison Barnes, Draymond Green were all capable, that's where San Jose is right now. They are giving you a show more often than not. They're giving you things to be excited about. And I think that's what people have wanted for so long, is something to be excited about. Because while the Sharks were not awful in every instance since they've been missing the playoffs, I mean, you kind of knew what you had here. And you just felt it was a matter of seeing if they could figure something out. They didn't figure it out. Then they had to do the tear down and now the rebuild. And that, listen, that's how you get through it. That's how you make yourselves good again. Now, all great teams have to go through this in the NHL. But now San Jose in the rebuild have young talent that is making everybody excited. And then to watch, you know, what we've seen last night, where you do have your number one pick from this year having a 3-point game, your number 4 overall and first round pick from 2 years ago having a multi-point game, your first round pick from a few years before that with William Eklund having a multi-goal game, your goalie of the future, who you turned multiple assets out of the Tomas Hertl trade into, he's giving up another, you know, just great performance. He had 2 goals against in his first game. He had 2 goals against in this game. This is Yaroslav Askarov playing very good hockey, very young in his NHL career, and everybody is excited about this. And the one thing I talk about is that Mike Greer is watching his vision come to life. Obviously, there was some pain in that, and I think it's funny that when Mike Greer came in, everyone said, oh, he's never going to be able to move all these contracts. He moved them all. He moved Brent Burns. He moved Timo Meier. He moved Erik Karlsson. He moved Tomas Hertl. And yes, they were painful, of course, because these players have meant so much to the San Jose Sharks. However, Mike Greer saw what it would take to turn the San Jose Sharks around. He came in with a plan. He's acted upon it. And now everybody is stoked for what is coming next. And I do not have a crystal ball. I can't tell you what's going to happen in the future. But I am excited right now. And I feel like if things keep on trending in this direction, that the San Jose Sharks are going to go from exciting to elite. I can't guarantee that, but it feels like that because I've watched similar buildups happen over time. You know, we go back to the Warriors and where they were. We go back to what we saw out of the Giants when Tim Lincecum was exploding onto the scene, and you saw the potential that was there with a Buster Posey and, you know, Madison Bumgarner and Matt Cain, where you had just incredible foundational pieces in that pitching rotation. You know, I often have said the vibes here remind me a lot of what the A's were at the turn of the century when it was Billy Beane first implementing his money ball and how it was a very youth-oriented team where it felt like a frat house when you were, you know, in the clubhouse and in the dugout. It felt like that, and that's kind of the vibe the Sharks have right now with the top-level talent that we see developing before our very eyes. They're young, they're exciting, they are legit, and everybody kind of wants a piece of it right now in terms of wanting to watch it and wanting to see what these guys can do. And I think that's just so much fun to have because you need something to be excited about. You need new blood, you need new life, you need a future to look forward to, and right now those things are all happening with San Jose. And it's incredible also that all this is occurring in the immediate aftermath of the Joe Thornton celebration this past weekend, and not just in the aftermath, but in the buildup as well, because there was so much hype about the Jumbo celebration, duly warranted because Jumbo is an icon of the franchise. But it's like you've been watching everyone praise the past while the future's been happening at the same time, and that's made for a really cool dynamic, in my opinion, where everybody's looking and seeing exactly what is going on here in San Jose. And it's just, it's been fun. Right? Like there has not been enough fun in San Jose, and the Sharks are having fun right now. The Sharks are showing everyone just exactly what they're potentially capable of in the future. And I think that's amazing. It's exactly what everybody's been waiting for. But you know, this game to get it going right off the bat, Nico Sturm coming back from injury and getting the breakaway goal right off the start from Askarov to Ferraro to Sturm, boom, you get something going, you get life into the building. And even though the Sharks did not have a lot of offense after that point, it still shows the need for them to be opportunistic and to be aggressive. And I think that, you know, the aggression early in games is something that we've seen two games in a row because they were aggressive early on against Buffalo. They had the highest shot count for their first period of the year, and I think for an individual period on the year. And then in this game last night, they came out, they saw a moment, they took advantage of it. They were not shy in the moment. Now, granted, LA did a really good job after that of pinning them in, but it was that moment of aggression with Askarov and Ferraro quickly moving the puck up the ice to find Sturm in stride on the breakaway to be able to put it in the back of the net. That's a big, big moment for San Jose. And I don't know that, you know, that's something they could have done a few weeks ago, but it's also showing you that they're getting more confidence in how they pick their spots and when they get aggressive, because there were a couple other moments in this game early on where they did have breakaways, they did have opportunities. You hear it in Dan Rusinowski's call where he talks about Luke Cunningham's goal. There was an earlier breakaway he had where he couldn't bury it, but he made good on it later in the game. But those are the moments, those are the things that you're seeing right now where the Sharks are giving us growth, right? Like they didn't always play with that same aggression a few weeks ago. And you know, obviously it's November 26th right now, and we go back to October 26th. They hadn't even won a game as of yet. And then suddenly, that was the... Yeah, by the way, it's November 26th this morning. A month ago, they lost 7-3 to Vegas. And then last night, they dropped a 7-2 win on LA. But you go back to the 28th of October, a 5-4 overtime win against Utah. Then they beat the Kings. Then they beat Chicago. Then they go into the month of November. They've got a tight loss against Vancouver. They probably should have got a point out of that one. Then they get an overtime win against Columbus. Then they get a loss against Minnesota. But you understood Minnesota as well as they've been playing right now. Okay, that's relatively acceptable. They go and they get a great 1-0 win against New Jersey. They get a point against Philadelphia. They've got a tight loss against the Rangers. They get a tight shootout loss against the Pens. Then they beat the Red Wings in overtime. Then they lose to Dallas, but 5-2 is not indicative of how tight that game is. Then another shootout loss to St. Louis. Then a empty net aided 4-2 loss to Buffalo. Then they bounce back with a win against LA last night. So you're just seeing, you know, if we look at the last month of hockey, more often than not, the Sharks are getting points, and they're getting wins at this point. They've got 7 wins on the year after starting off 0-7-9 on the season. And again, just the overall excitement that I get from San Jose, the way that I feel about every game, just wondering what's going to happen. What is San Jose going to do? Right now, that's exciting. Every single time they take the ice, you're excited to see San Jose play. That was not the previous narrative. And I'm not trying to come down on any of the teams or any of the moves or anything, but that's just where they were. That's where they were in their overall timeline. And they've gone from being a team that's, you know, at the bottom of the league to now being a team that's exciting, that people want to watch in the NHL. 7 wins, 12 losses, 5 overtime or shootout losses, 19 points on the year. They're better than Pittsburgh. They're better than Montreal. You know, they are not the worst team in the NHL. They're tied in points with Anaheim. They've also got more points than Nashville, by the way. They're tied in points with Utah Hockey Club. They're 1 point behind Columbus. 2 points behind the Flyers and the Islanders. Tied in points with Ottawa, who they've got coming up. That's another winnable game on Wednesday night. Now, they're only a point behind the Red Wings. Now, this is where San Jose felt like they needed to be. Now, we didn't know it was going to happen just like this with the 0-7-2 start, but man, things are trending in the right direction. Now, we know that San Jose has a very brutal road trip coming up, and I think that's one of the things that I've been not concerned about, but it's made me think, okay, the Sharks need to maximize this homestand. They lost on Saturday to Buffalo. Okay, what did they do? They responded with a big win against LA, 7-2 victory. Now, they've got a winnable game coming up on Wednesday night against Ottawa. Can they win 2 out of the first 3? Definitely a possibility. Then, they close it out on Friday night against Seattle, Friday afternoon at 12:30 start. That's a winnable game to me. They'll be fueled by a Thanksgiving feast. Then they have a back-to-back where they go the next day and play Seattle again. Those two teams are not going to like seeing each other for 2 days in a row. They're going to be ticked off. That's the start of a brutal road trip, but it only gets more brutal from that point on, because then they go to Washington, to Tampa, to Florida. By the way, Florida's not playing great hockey right now. That's something to pay attention to. Then to Carolina, to St. Louis before they're back home on the 14th. So the Sharks play their final home game of the month of November on the 29th against Seattle. Then they go out on the road for 6. They're not home again until the 14th. So yeah, that is going to be a busy, difficult stretch for San Jose, but ultimately very telling. And I think it comes at a good time because you're watching the talent level of these young players start to rise. Will Smith is doing more to find his game. Macklin Celebrini is obviously in stride with his game. Fabian Zetterlund's playing really good hockey. William Eklund is playing really good hockey. And hopefully, this is now the big question mark that we did not even know was going to be part of the narrative. Mikael Granlund, hopefully he'll be able to be healthy and ready to go. Hopefully that truly was a game time decision, that there's just something that's nagging him with his upper body. You know, maybe it's a sore back, whatever it is. That was not one that was on anybody's radar. But true to form, San Jose showed that it is not just the Mikael Granlund show. Now, Mikael Granlund, I'm not trying to diminish his role. He has been the best Shark up to this point of the season. And really, since he came back from injury last year, he has been the best Shark over that time period. He has been an absolute monster in terms of productivity, in terms of leadership, in terms of skill, in terms of just his drive and desire. He has been a great San Jose Shark. But it was really interesting to watch the team respond without him last night, because when it was early on and they were getting pinned in, when it was early on and they were not generating shot volume, when they were getting just absolutely, you know, stuck in the defensive zone, you're thinking, uh-oh, this is life without Mikael Granlund. This is life without their most productive offensive player. But they stuck to the plan and they were able to find a breakthrough. Now, I'm not trying to make anything about, oh, this was, you know, because they didn't have Mikael Granlund, they were inspired to play for their... No, I'm not going down that road. But it shows you that they can still get it done, that they have so many other weapons. And it's been about finding other guys, the veterans, getting more in sync with their game. We've watched Alex Wenberg become more and more productive. I've loved watching his game be more and more of a factor on a day-to-day, game-to-game basis. We saw Mario Ferraro make great plays. Again, the veterans stepping up, Luke Cunningham stepping up, while we also got Fabian Zetterlund, while we also got William Eklund and Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini contributing. Timothy Liljegren, an acquisition for San Jose, he has been playing better and better. Jake Walman, by the way, deserved more out of last night's game. That 93.5 mile per hour clapper that moved the net on its moorings. My goodness, what a rocket that was. I know they say 93.5. It felt faster. I'm just saying, it felt faster. And especially from that distance. My goodness. Can you imagine being a goalie seeing that come at you? I don't think you see it, actually. I think you just hear it. But, man, what an absolute game from him. You love to see the D-men getting their production. Even Jan Ruta was more aggressive last night, which I've been wanting to see more and more out of him. But the San Jose Sharks put out a great performance offensively without their best offensive player up to this point of the year. That, again, is indicative of growth because previously with San Jose, they needed every player to be perfect and play overall a perfect game to walk away with a win. That's not where San Jose is anymore. They've improved just enough to where they can be missing one of their best pieces and still drop an impressive performance on everyone. That is very exciting to see. And again, I want to see what the Sharks do with the rest of this homestand before they go out onto the road. And I'm excited to see what the Sharks do on the road. I mean, again, the opportunity, the things we're seeing with San Jose right now, it's fun. San Jose Sharks, they're fun. They're exciting. They're young. They play with hunger and grit and determination. You love tuning in.
I don't know. I think we came out with a lot of jump in the third. We controlled possession and we took it to them instead of just kind of sitting back and letting them do their thing. So I think we forced them to make mistakes and we got on top of them.
That's Macklin Celebrini after last night's win. And I like that quote about making them make mistakes because that tells me that they were taking control of the game. And, you know, they obviously came out with a lot of jump in the start of that third period, but making LA the reactive team as opposed to, like you said, sitting back, that to me was where the game changed. The San Jose Sharks became the dictatorial team. They were dictating the terms of the tempo. They were dictating the terms of the possession. They were dictating the terms of aggression, and they were rewarded by that by penalties, by getting opportunities on the power play. They were rewarded by just their overall shot volume and shot selection, puck movement. Everything started trending in favor of San Jose from that point on. It's because they came out with a lot of jump at the start of the third period. Head coach Ryan Warsawski.
Yeah, our forecheck is really important in the way we want to play. And when we do it right, we do it consistently. We put teams on their heels. We get ozone possession out of it. When we don't do it right, we get scored on like we did tonight in the third goal there. You know, so... you know, we got to make sure we stay on the puck and stay on the hunt and with our puck pressure and know what we're doing when we don't have the puck.
And that was something that very much changed in the third period, as you could see the Sharks working more successfully, winning pucks, and changing the momentum of the game. Warsawski also spoke to the Sharks' power play.
Yeah, it's important to get those guys off the ice as much as we can, right? So, and then we score on the power play, which is important. We obviously had a slow start with the power play this year, and to now get rewarded with some goals. Obviously, it's been better, I would say, the last three games. But we need our power play to continue to, you know, be more consistent on, you know, getting teams on their heels and being more of an impact, of a threat, so we can kind of take more momentum when we get them. So to get the goals tonight was important.
Warsawski also spoke about the sometimes aggressive play at Yaroslav Askarov and making things interesting when he does come out of the net.
Worries me a little bit at times, but... he was good. He looks more and more comfortable every, you know, period he plays in the National Hockey League, and looks calm in the net, made some big saves. And it is, you know, nice to have him to come cut some rims in the defensive zone so we can stop pucks up and get numbers around it. So he does a really good job of it. We get him, you know, monitored it a little bit. But he's confident with the puck, and he's a confident kid.
And I have no problem with him being confident. It's obviously something that he needs to work on to make sure he doesn't get himself into dangerous situations, but he's young, and by the fact that the Sharks are not expected to be some contending team, they are allowed to relatively learn on the fly and in real time in the NHL. That's what rebuilds are for. You tear it down, you take it to the studs, and you build it back up because these guys are going to learn in real time when the stakes are relatively low. That's not to say that they're out here to accept being bad or lose or anything like that, but no, they know that, you know, they have to learn how to win at the NHL level. You learn by making mistakes, and it's then how you respond to those mistakes that dictates how your NHL development is going to go. You're not expecting to win a Stanley Cup this year. You learn this year. All right, we're out of time. Ottawa tomorrow for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.
With about a minute 45 gone by, lead pass, here comes a breakaway. Nico Sturm shoots, and he scores! First great opportunity for the Sharks ahead.